Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And a happy Easter weekend to all. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 16th and 17th. Man, all hell is breaking loose on the fishing fronts, fresh and salt water. Gnarly weather aside, pick your times, pick your places, pick your species. Hey, big, I think the state or the region's biggest white perch tournament's coming up next Saturday. It's the Landisville Gun Club. Let's see, it's going to be Saturday, April 23rd, 6 a.m. start time, anywhere in New Jersey. Weigh-in is at 2 p.m. sharp at the Landisville Gun Club, 4th and Cape May Avenue, Evan Estelle Manor. Okay, a little steep on the entry fee, but you see the prize and you see the cookouts. Mary, mother of God, it's amazing. Adult angler, 40, youngsters, 10 or under, 15, active military or disabled veteran, 20, fish fry, clams, and refreshments, all that good stuff. After, I think, shout out to Dave Lorenzini! Community insurance, man. He's my insurance guy. He's one of the big guns at this tournament. I think he's a Tommy P. Last year, I think we had over 300 participants. First prize, $1,000. Second is $500. Third is $250. You're going to have to you register at the captain's meeting on Friday, April 22nd. For more information, go to njwhiteperch.com. Hey, the hatchery trucks are rolling in South Jersey this coming week, April 18th to 22nd. On Monday, the Toms River is going to get hit. Not the TCA, just the Toms River itself. Remember, on the Toms, you can't fish until 5 p.m. on that Monday. Now, on Tuesday, April 19th, Greenwich Lake is going to get hit with 290, Grenlock Lake 240, Iona Lake 260, same with Oak Pond, Shadler Sandwash is going to get 240, and Swedesboro Lake 320. Birch Grove Park gets hit Wednesday with 240. Heritage, or Pemberton Lake, rather, 330. That's a tough lake to fish, man. We've been all over that place. It's doing marginal there, but the trout are there. And Heritage Park Pond right there behind the Upseeka Municipal Building is going to get dosed with 260. And Thursday, April 21st, Tuckahoe Lake, 360. Mary Elmer Lake up there just above Sunset Lake and Bridge and 320. Ponder Lodge Pond, my fave South Jersey Troutwater, 320. Shaw's Mill, 310. And South Violin Park Lake, 290. We have a really jammed show coming up. We're going to be talking turkey with Jimmy Sloan, Game Bird Project Leader, State of New Jersey. Also, Lou Gambale is going to be weighing in. He's going to be running a turkey hunting seminar virtual Monday, the 18th at 7 p.m. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. Check that out. Karen Burns online with the Governor's Surf Tournament. And we have surprise guest, Gamakatsu. Yeah, the hook company, Premium Hook Company, is in the bait biz. I tried some of their artificial legs. Let me tell you something. This stuff kicks ass. Grab that cup. Grab that rebel. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, you're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 16th and 17th. Again, happy Easter to all. Hey, just a reminder, next Saturday, April 23rd, is the Youth Turkey Hunting Day. And the Monday after that, the turkey season statewide gets underway. Here's the dealio. Period A, Monday, April 25th till Friday the 29th. Period B, May 2nd to 6th. These are all Monday to Fridays, people. Period C, May 9th to 13th. Period D, May 16th to 20th. And May 23rd to the 27th. Period E is the Saturdays, April 30th, May 7th, 14th, and 21st. Now, normal hunting hours are half hour before sunrise to noon, except in period D, it's going to be half hour before sunrise to sunset. And that last Saturday in period E, the 21st, it's going to be the same, half hour before sunrise to sunset. Now, what is a turkey prospectus? Joining us on the line right now is Jimmy Sloan. He is the Game Bird Project Leader, New Jersey Division of Fish and Wildlife. I guess I can still say that for now. Jimmy, how's it going, man? Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. Long time no talk to, bro.
Good morning, Tom P. and guests. Thanks for having me.
Always. Last time we had Jimmy Sloan, he gave a great prospectus for the fall turkey season. Jimmy, I'm a little worried about this spring again. Weather, we've got some other situations involved. But I'm looking at last year's spring gobbler harvest, 2,327 birds for 2021. And that just seems to follow a downward decline. The year before was 2850. The year before that, 2739. The year before that, 2864. I mean, what's going on with the turkey population? Weather induced? What's happening? These numbers are down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at our 2020 poults per hen, it was 2.33 poults per hen. I mean, the number one thing for ground nesting game birds is recruitment. And we look at a five-year trend when we go to our harvest. 2020 might have been a COVID bump year. A lot of people were sitting home. They really wanted to get out.
Right.
2021, a lot of people were back to work. About 30% of permit buyers. It was their first time ever turkey hunting in 2021.
Wow.
I know from a fact that, you know, the first time I went turkey hunting, I was unsuccessful. And I'm not sure if that had something to do with it or if the populations are down.
You're lucky, man. The first time out, I was 0 for 6. Maybe 0 for 7. Well, Jimmy, what's the approximate statewide flock population?
We're hovering right around 20,000 birds.
And that's been pretty steady. I mean, can they expand besides the suburbs? Is there any more room for expansion? I mean, we have a lot of public turkey hunting land. God, huge, huge swaths all over the state, you know, the 18 turkey hunting areas, whatever that we have. So can the flock get even bigger? Is that about it?
Yeah, so in the early 2000s, I mean, our flocks pretty much reached carrying capacity across the state. All suitable habitat was occupied. We are seeing a little decline in certain areas. There's a lot of things going on and some research plans that are coming to fruition next winter. I'm pretty excited about that. I can't talk about it yet, but I can't wait to let you guys know about it.
Fair enough. Well, Jim, let's get to the nuts and bolts here. Coyote predation, you know, raccoon predation on nests, commercial and residential development. Are those the two big strikes, three big strikes, I should say, against the turkey population as it stands?
Yeah, you put the nail on the head. I mean, besides habitat management, which needs to continue, I mean, we really need brood-rearing habitat out there. But just as far as coyotes, as of today, 506 coyotes were harvested.
Wow.
136 of them, okay, were taken with muzzleloaders, rifles, or shotguns. So do you know where the rest of them came from, Tom?
No.
Trappers. Trappers have approximately 305 right now. So
I'm
a turkey hunter and I'm not trapping, I'm definitely going to be shaking the hand of a trapper and thanking them the next time I meet them.
The framework
is laid out through our game code for us to harvest these meso predators, and I just see that opportunity not being taken advantage of.
Jim, let's get to the weather factor in brood production and successful brood, you know, production to poult size and adult size. Rainy springs, chilly weather, bad, huh?
Awful. Horrible. I mean, a brood can be taken out with a real heavy rain morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens time and time again. The good thing that I want to bring up to the your constituents is this year we're going to be going live with a online version of our turkey brood survey. In past years, we've had forms where Division of Fish and Wildlife employees and also our NWTF volunteers, they fill out a survey for us. But this year we're going to go electronic. It's going to be online. Anybody can do it. Last year, our
That's
turkey
cool.
bird survey, we had 159 observations. We need approximately 300 to be for the sample size to be significant.
I tell you, Jimmy, I see broods in the damnedest place getting off exit 30 there in Summers Point. It seems like every year, every other year, there's a hen there with three or four or five chicks running around. You know what I'm talking about? Southbound on the parkway? Right?
Yeah.
Right there. There she is every year. So, again, this all goes to successful management plans for the future, correct?
Yes. Yep. And it also leads to a population model so we can have an accurate population
That's
model
what I mean,
for the
yeah.
state.
Okay, joining us on the line is Jim Sloan. He is the Game Bird Project Leader, Division of Fish and Wildlife. Well, Jim, for the turkey hunting prospectus, as you see it, a lot of jakes last year. I saw a bunch in the two or three different areas. You know, I was hunting and just hiking and observing. What's it look like for this year?
So last year's poults per hen average was 3.78. That means there's going to be a ton of jakes out there in the woods this year. We had a great hard mass year in the winter of 2021.
Right.
You could tell that through our deer harvest late in the year. And low mortality was reported statewide. I'm really excited for this turkey season to see a bump in harvest.
Yeah, God, man, that just snapped me to try attention mode on that one. It did, because I said some early observations I've had since, I guess, maybe the first, second week in March, seeing turkeys here, out along 539, down along 55. I'm seeing them all over South Jersey. Haven't been up North Jersey yet. You know me, I'm very fortunate. I get to travel the state a lot. And it does look pretty good from the numbers I'm seeing, but then those are pretty much isolated instances. But your indicators are that it should be a good season?
This year, we're going to have one heck of a spring gobbler harvest. That's my prediction.
Jim, the South, the southern tier counties, the south part of the southern part of the state, turkey hunting areas 20, you know, 21, 22, whatever. We have some great hunting down there. The North, that was a traditional spot where it all started back in, was it 80 or 81 when Bob Byrne, you know, released the turkeys in the trap and transfer project to reestablish the population. Is the North declining, or the numbers coming up, staying steady, or what? Because the South still rules.
Yeah, the South is our honey hole for our harvest. The North zones, the harvest has been declining for the past 15 years. Now, could that be linked back to your predators and habitat management? I'm going to have to say probably. But like I said, we do have research projects. They're coming up. The North is included. I can't wait to see what some of the information we get from that is.
Well, Jimmy, some areas up in the North that I've noticed, it breaks my heart. I'm an old guy. I've been around, and the 23 corridor going north and the Route 206 corridor going north, especially when you get into Sussex County, Jimmy, there are developments there, huge malls, huge shopping centers, huge car dealerships, a lot of land. It just seems gotten swallowed up by the year.
Yeah.
And that's all impacting the turkeys up there.
Urban
sprawl
is live.
Well, Jim, I'm going to put you on the spot, Sloan. I'm going to put you on the spot. Jimmy, I had a sandbag, man. I don't get to talk to you that often. You're always in the field. So if you had to pick, Jimmy, five South Jersey turkey hunting areas, management areas, or state forests, what would your pick be? Best shot at success? Say turkey hunting area, say 2021, 22. What do you got? Go.
I'm going to have to lead it off with zone turkey hunting area 14.
14, there you go. Okay.
I don't know if you like to call the Pine Barrens South Jersey or not, but I mean, nothing's better than hearing a gobbler up in a pitch pine at O Dark 30. That's one of my favorite turkey hunting areas to hunt. Then I'd have to go down to 21. I mean, New Jersey Fish and Wildlife is partnering with NWTF, and they're doing a women's turkey hunt over at Landis Swords Authority. I got to give them a shout out.
Oh yeah,
just the habitat management they've done on that property, that might be the cream of the crop property, the turkey hunt, and they allow public turkey hunting.
Say that one more time.
Landis Storage Authority in Zone 21 allows public turkey hunting.
Oh man, there's still permits, unclaimed permits available, are there not? I gotta get in on that one. Oh man,
21. I do think there's a couple C's available.
That'll work for me. I'm semi-retired.
another couple ones. I mean, you have Buckshootum Wildlife Management Area, Dix Wildlife Management Area, Peasley. I mean, these are unbelievable turkey honey holes.
I mean, Peasley is the locals know it, but that's a huge tract. And Tom P, you're burning a spot. No, I'm burning a spot. Peasley Wildlife Management, it's where they stock the quail, okay? Jimmy, you got some prime habitat there, man. Oh, boy, you're right. Some big gobblers down there to be expected. Well, Jimmy, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin, and we hope you have a successful spring season. By the way, will you get a chance to get out?
Yes, I will. I did not get my 14A, unlike many people think, just because we work here, we don't get the permits we want.
Oh, that is one. Jim, doesn't that drive you absolutely insane? I hear that all the time. Any division people, they get the cream of the crop. They get the first picks. Where do you come up with that?
I wish.
Yeah, that's like this.
I wish.
That's like, oh, yeah, my uncle's friend's cousin's sister's brother-in-law saw a truck unloading coyotes. Yeah, I'm sure you heard that one.
So, 100 times.
Well, Jimmy, good luck, man. You take care. Thanks for joining us on Rack Vince. Jimmy Sloan, Game Bird Project Leader, Division of Fish and Wildlife. It's going to be a great turkey season. Unclaimed permits are still out there. Over-the-counter sales available. Jimmy, you take care, man. See you soon.
All right, enjoy.
See you, man. And I stand corrected. Boy, I deserve a good-ass beating on that one. It's been a long time since I had one of those, but it was Bob Erickson on the turkey reintroduction, not Bob Byrne. Last time I saw Bob Byrne, I think it was 94, 95. I was running a press conference breakfast for, was it Woodstream, down there in Houston at the SHOT Show. I said, there's a guy running down. I say, Burns. He's Tom P., what's up? I said, you want some quail and eggs and breakfast and get a free gun and bow case? Shit, yeah. He was on the, I guess he was with some federation or something. And he came, but it was Bob Erickson on the reintroduction of the turkeys in New Jersey. Oh, my God. It's getting there. Actually, my calling just absolutely sucks. Hey, you want to get some lessons in proper turkey calling? Monday, the 18th at 7 p.m., Division of Fish and Wildlife in the New Jersey State Chapter of the Wild Turkey Federation. Lou Gambale, a presidente, is going to be giving a calling seminar. I tackled Lou, if you can believe it. This big guy, he's like fullbacks. No, he's more like offensive tackle side, big guy. Was able to tackle him, get him on Rack and Fin for a couple minutes to talk about his seminar and give it a minute or two on the state chapter federation Wild Turkey and how good they're doing. Louie, thanks for joining us. What's up, brother?
Good morning, my brother. It's always a pleasure, man. I love you, man.
At 7 p.m. Monday, the 18th. Hey. What's happening?
Well, hey, look, it's a magical time of the year, all right? If you don't get excited about turkey season, you don't have a pulse.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Oh, my call just sucks.
Listen, I tell you, in my opinion, there's nothing better. But, hey, look, thank you for giving us some time about this. Monday at 7, you can log in to Division. You can sign on there and register for that. And what it is, it's kind of a little bit of a spinoff from what we did. We did some live seminars for a few years up at Batstow.
And listeners, it was standing room only. That was amazing,
yes, it
Luke.
It was. Yep. I tell you, and we learned from that there's a lot of folks out there that not only want to listen to other folks, you know, experiences and such, but they've got great questions, and it's just a great opportunity for folks not only to learn but share their ideas and such. And Bob Erickson used to do it up in North Jersey, so we tried to cover both ends of the states, but of course then COVID hit, and yep, we got shut down with live appearances, and so we've come back. We did a version of this last year. We had really good turnout,
right?
So the Division, you know, put it out again. And it's really what we'll try to accomplish on Monday is really getting at the new turkey hunter, somebody who, you know, either is just starting hunting or maybe they've been out there, but they really haven't figured out yet and, you know, how to quite tackle these great birds. And
that's what he said for my benefit.
That's right. That's why I said tackle. But look, I always say, back, you know, bring Band-Aids with you. A lot of times you go home with scars. we're going to get at the simplicity of it. And again, I hope nobody should take this as, believe me, I by no means want to come off as a know-it-all. I've just been blessed to hunt the birds in a bunch of states and out of the country in Mexico, and I've seen these buggers at every level, and I've gotten beat up by them at every level. So what I love about it is I got an opinion about every question. You know, if you give me a question, I'll tell you this. If you go hunt turkeys, and I say hunt turkeys, that means, you know, put yourself out and pit yourself against them. Every single hunt is going to be a different experience for every single hunter.
But exactly right.
Within that are ways to make that hunt more exciting and more enjoyable. And understanding that, you know, whether you get a bird or you don't get a bird, you're literally going to live the ultimate experience by being out there with these birds at this time of the year. So that's what we're trying to accomplish with that. My hat's off to the Division for continuing to put these programs out there. They're really putting their best foot forward, not only with turkey hunting, but a lot of other great programs, too. So You know, I'm actually going to a meeting today for the ladies' mentored hunt. This will be the second year for that. Last year was incredibly successful, and I'm excited about that our federation can partner with them and on great programs.
Taylor, we're up against a hard break. Let's give you a minute. Let's talk about the wild turkey chapter in New Jersey. What do you got?
Well, listen, we're getting bigger and stronger every day, but we need support. Look, simply, we've got 10,000 turkey hunters in New Jersey. We've got just shy of 1,000 members in a Turkey Federation.
Look, wow.
What do we do? Well, low-hanging fruit, right? If you're a turkey hunter, you know, I implore folks, invest $35, go online, go on YouTube, look at what we're about. We're a full-scope conservation organization. So while turkeys are on the door and turkeys are on the cover of our magazine, Turkey Call, you know, we're doing some phenomenal work across the country for, you know, with the U.S. Forest Service, clean water, all kinds of species and habitat improvement. Right here in New Jersey, working with the Division for food plots and wildlife management areas. We've got turkey research programs cropping up all over the country, and we're partnering in every situation with the Divisions of Fish and Wildlife because we are seeing declines of the birds throughout the country. It's very concerning. Mm-hmm. And instead of just talking about it, we're putting action behind it. Action takes money. Action takes volunteers. So if you're looking for a place to, you know, come out, pitch in, you don't have to be a turkey hunter. You can just appreciate wildlife.
And look,
you know, we tell folks all the time, if you love wildlife, you know, we're entrusted to take care of it. So come on out and join the flock.
Lou, no habitat, no hunt, no habitat, no wildlife. That's what it comes down to.
That's right. And you know, I want to tell you, a renowned outdoor enthusiast said something. I was in a seminar once, and a gentleman said, if wildlife went away tomorrow, would you miss it? I think I know what the answer is.
Yep.
But if humans went away tomorrow, would wildlife miss us?
So
as long as we're going to hang around and pester the dickens out of them and steal all their land and asphalt all their woods, you know, how about we, along the way, balance it a little bit by just getting out there and getting involved in, you know, right in your own community, in your state. And a great way to do it is join an NWTF chapter. And if NWTF's not your bag, there's other conservation organizations. Get involved, all right? I mean, look, buying your hunting license is great, but it's not enough.
That's not enough.
I'm here to tell you, you can do bigger and better things. And look, mentoring people, new hunters, never before has it been more valuable that experienced hunters and fisher folks, women, men and women mm-hmm. who already have the expertise to get out and help someone, kids, adults who are just getting into the great outdoors, you know, and we've got programs for that. We can help provide the baseline for you to exercise your expertise.
Okay, listen, go to njfishandwildlife.com to register. It's going to be this Monday at 7 p.m. Lou Gambale and the R3 staff. Lou's the New Jersey State Chapter President, National Wild Turkey Federation. It's going to be something. And, you know, I'll be tuned in because my calling just stinks. Lou, you take care. Hope to see you in the woods, brother.
Thanks, brother.
See ya. Well, I'm going to up against a break. Coming up, we got the Governor's Surf Tournament. And then you'll hear about Gamagatsu Hook Company is now in the bait business. You hear about that first. Then we're going to hear about the Governor's Surf Tournament. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Come celebrate South Jersey's largest Earth Day Festival, Sunday, April 24th from 10 to 4 at the ACUA's Environmental Park in Egg Harbor Township. Enjoy a day of free workshops, live entertainment, eco hay rides, live animal shows, interactive games, crafts, and more. Take a ride on the Green Jitney and tour the wind farm. The ACUA thanks all of its vendors, volunteers, and sponsors. ACUA's 30th Annual Earth Day Festival, Sunday, April 24th in Egg Harbor Township. Admission and parking are free. Visit acua.com.
The average credit card interest rate is over 18%, but with a personal unsecured loan from First Harvest Credit Union, you can borrow between $5,000 and $30,000 with rates as low as 7.99 annual percentage rate. To apply, visit firstharvestcu.com or visit a branch by June 30th. For additional information as to costs, call 800-582-7640. Must apply by June 30th, 2022. Subject to qualifications and approval. Minimum FICO score 720. Other restrictions apply. Equal housing lender.
Not long ago, I wouldn't even leave my house.
Addiction had such a hold on me.
I was a stranger in my own life.
My sister told me about 844 Reach and J.
I learned about medication that could support recovery.
And it's working for me.
With medication supporting my recovery, I'm moving forward.
844 Reach and J was my first step back into life.
And it feels amazing.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Call 844-REACH-NJ to learn about medication that can support your recovery. A message from the New Jersey Department of Human Services.
At Ocean First Bank, our first thought is you. We put you first in all we do. Community banking for a century. We treat you like your family. Whatever you need, whatever you dream, let's make it a reality.
Now, more than ever, having access to your accounts from the comfort of your home is important. That's why we offer top-rated digital banking services that allow you to do things like open accounts and pay bills online, even deposit checks from your phone.
Whatever you need, whatever you dream, let's make it a reality. Ocean First Bank, putting you first.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender.
With GMF Financing approved credit, excludes Corvette.
This just in. Right now, Bennett Chevrolet is paying a minimum $8,000 for any trade. That's at least $8,000 for any trade, running or not. Bennett is doing it again. Want $8,000 for that old rotted out rat trap? Just drive it, push it, tow it to Bennett Chevrolet for a minimum $8,000 towards any pre-owned vehicle in stock. Got a good trade? Well, if we're paying a minimum $8,000 for total junk, imagine how much more you'll get for a good quality trade. Looking for new? There's no beating Bennett, because unlike other dealers, we're not selling over factory sticker. And there's 0% available financing. Plus, if you're stuck in a lease, bring it to Bennett. We can get you out early, any make, any model. And remember, Bennett will buy yours even if you don't buy ours. Stop in for a quick quote. No pressure or obligation, because our non-commissioned sales staff is paid based on your satisfaction, not how much you spend. Find new roads at Bennett Chevrolet, Egg Harbor Township, and BennettChevy.com.
The Advanced Heart Failure Team at DeBora Heart and Lung Center knows that like your vehicle, your heart has a check engine light. You may not recognize your personal warnings, like sudden weight gain, loss of appetite, swelling of your feet and ankles, or coughing and wheezing. Engage the region's leading heart team at DeBora Heart and Lung Center. Because when it's advanced heart failure and your heart's check engine light is on, expect answers and solutions. Learn more at demanddebora.org.
Good rhythm isn't just important in music. It also matters with your heart. If your heart has trouble keeping the beat, it could signal a serious problem called arrhythmia or AFib. Fortunately, the latest treatment options and some of the world's most skilled cardiac physicians are right here at DeBora Heart and Lung Center, in harmony with you and your doctor. So don't miss a beat. Be sure. DemandDebora.org.
Hello. I'm Atlantic City Police Department Chief James Sarkos. Over the past 2 years, our thoughts and conversations have continuously focused on the latest news regarding the pandemic. I'd like to ask you to do your part to end an increasing symptom of the pandemic, distracted driving. A distraction occurs every time you take your eyes off the road, your hands off the wheel, and your mind off of driving safely. Distracted driving crashes increased during the pandemic, even with fewer motorists on our roadways. While it is tempting to talk, text, or scroll through your social media to keep up with the latest news, it should never be done while operating a motor vehicle. April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month. Police departments in Atlantic County are participating in the You Drive, You Text, You Pay campaign, cracking down on distracted drivers with zero tolerance. A distraction occurs every time you take your eyes off the road, your hands off the wheel, and your mind off of driving safely. Let's all work together to ensure in healthy behaviors and put every symptom of the pandemic behind us.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin, ready to meet Tom P. Weekend of April 9th and 10th. Okay, enough talk about Tog, enough talk about trout. Let's get to the bass, the largemouth kind. South Jersey offers some of the best largemouth bass fishing in the Mid-Atlantic region. Nowhere to go. Hey, pre-spawn time is happening. If people I spoke to said they're already seeing indications that the spawn may be a little early for mine, put a call in to Chris Smith, Principal Fisheries Biologist, New Jersey Division of Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, tournament bass angler, former two-time New Jersey Bass Angler of the Year. Chris knows wherever he speaks, in the field and on the water. In fact, when he's on the water, man, creates disorder on the water with those largemouth. Chris, how you doing? Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. How you been, bud?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Before we get going, how's Michelle, those lovely girls?
Everybody's doing well. Thanks for asking.
Okay, let's get to the pre-spawn tactics, Chris. Very capricious weather patterns. It's friggin' freezing, then it's cold, and it's freezing, and it's raining. Sun's out. How's this affecting bass behavior, bud?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely the spring we've had so far over the last couple of weeks. We had a big warm-up, big warming trend a couple of weeks ago. We actually saw some spawning activity, from what I understand. Didn't see it myself, but, had some texts and stuff. There's definitely a couple bass on beds. Parvin State Park had a couple.
There you go.
I imagine, probably Rainbow Lake probably had a couple too. But we had a big cold front come through. Definitely dropped the water temperature back from the, high 50s all the way down into the low 40s. So that really set things back definitely set things back a little bit. So, right now we had some rain. We had a lot of rain, actually.
Yeah.
Dirtied the water up. We got high water conditions right now, but we have a warming trend, here in the forecast. Things are going to get good here over the next couple of days. Getting really excited.
Now, Chris, those bass that were on the beds and that water temperature jumped, and then it dropped. Did they back off?
Yeah, absolutely. It depends on how committed they are to the beds. And those early fish that come up, they kind of get up and they start sniffing around, start rubbing up some beds. But they haven't really spawned yet. They go through the motions, but they kind of know instinctually that it's too early and, that they just shouldn't do their thing yet. So, they kind of wait. Those fish don't spawn as quickly as the later fish will. They kind of will pull off. So They'll probably be the first ones to pull back up, here in the next couple of days.
Now, Chris, this is like late winter, early spring where we have. This is the prime time, correct me if I'm wrong, to catch the biggest, a.k.a. heaviest fish of the year, the egg-laden females. This prime time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Coming off of the, when they do their fall feed into the winter as the bass, bass stay pretty active all winter long, particularly when they're not even under the ice. Pretty popular species through ice fishing.
Yep.
They stay feeding all winter long. So, they continue to put on the weight. So the transition between the late winter feeding time and the early pre-spawn, when they start putting on egg mass, that is absolutely the heaviest that the fish will be all year long.
Now, Chris, are they aggressive? I mean, it's not really, the water temperature is not really conducive for them to be rocking and rolling. Is it a finesse situation, or are those fish getting more aggressive by the day? Temperature goes up a degree or two, and it correlates to them getting like, hey, let's kick some ass. What do you think?
These fish are aggressive. Largemouth particularly, largemouth are aggressive as soon as the water gets into the high 40s. High 48 to 52 degrees in the pre-spawn is a real key water temperature, you know, all over the country, particularly in this area. Mm-hmm. You know, we see fish, you know, devouring, you know, big baits, you know, big giant swim baits, 8, you know, 9, 10 inch long swim baits, mimicking gizzard shad, golden shiners. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, they like a big meal and they're super aggressive this time of year. As we get closer to the spawn, they get a little more finicky. You know, as the water temperature gets warmer, it's kind of counterintuitive to what we believe. We think that water temperature is getting warmer, fish are getting more active, but they're getting closer to the spawn. So that their transition goes from feeding to spawning. That's when they get a little more finicky, and that's what we're going to be working on over the next couple weeks.
Okay, Chris, does finicky correlate to more finesse tactics, more downsized tackle, lighter tackle, smaller baits?
Yeah, absolutely. I think their strike zone gets a lot smaller. So places where the water remains clear, you know, even in your cedary, you know, South Jersey cedary colored lakes, you know, they can be clear and still be stained with tannin stain, but they can be clear. That's where some of your finesse techniques are going to come in, where you have a little more stained water, maybe someplace like Sunset Lake over in Bridgeton or the Salem Canal. Mm-hmm. High water conditions right now, a little muddy water. You know, then you're going to be able to throw more some reaction baits, spinner baits, chatter baits, you know, kind of come into play a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Joining us on the Rack and Fin line is Chris Smith, Principal Fisheries Biologist, Division of Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries. Tournament bass angler, former two-time New Jersey bass angler. Via, we're talking pre-spawn bass tactics. So, Chris, where are, again, it's predicated on the water, the venue, I realize that. Where are guys and gals looking for bass this next week or two? Where are we targeting?
This is probably, you know, particularly with the conditions that we're dealing with right now with the rain that we just had. We had probably, you know, in some areas had upwards of a couple inches of rain, right. You know, maybe 2-3 inches of rain. Water levels high. The streams are all high for all of our trout streams are high right now. You know, that high, dirty water with a warming trend brings fish shallow really fast, no matter what time of year, whether it's fall, summer, you know, spring. High rising water brings fish to the bank, particularly in the spring when they're getting ready to spawn. So I'd say, you know, most anglers are going to catch your fish in less than 5 feet of water. You know, close to the, you know, within a cast distance of the bank, whether you're fishing from shoreline or fishing from the boat, you know, you're going to want to target the shoreline right now.
Chris, weeds have a role in the game now.
Yeah, absolutely. Any cover that's in a lake, you know, depending on what the predominant cover is going to be, if it's someplace that has, you know, submerged vegetation, you know, they're going to go towards that. You know, we don't have many lakes in South Jersey that have, you know, hydrilla or milfoil or that sort of thing. But, you know, yellow water lily or spatterdock, you know, those pads as they're first coming up, you know, in the spring as they're just starting to break the surface. We even get a lot of spawning activity around those lily pads. So that's key, finding those pad clumps. Anytime you have, you know, lay down trees or brush or, you know, even if it's a small little stick on the bank, if it's a bank that's pretty much void of cover, that'll be the key area to target.
Okay, Chris, here's the deal. Now, water clears up, the water table lowers. What? Give me some. Give me three or four of your top baits, top tags that you're going to use for the shallow water largemouths at this stage of the game.
You know, definitely as the water's clearing up, you know, you can't beat a wacky rig worm. You know, whether it's a Senko or any other brand, you know, weightless, you know, stick worm. You know, definitely a great bait. You know, whether it's Texas rig, wacky rig, you know, with a weight, without a weight. It's just a great technique in the spring, particularly when they have a real small strike zone and they're a little finicky, great little subtle bait that, you know, that works pretty much dirty water, clear water. It works everywhere. You know, those probably those little more aggressive fish sometimes early morning hours. You can still catch a couple fish on a crankbait, chatterbait, you know, spinner bait. You know, before they go on the beds, you know, once they go on the beds, they get a little, you know, a little more finicky, like I said, and, you know, creature baits, you know, like a beaver or something like that, you know, but will come in.
Okay. I guess you turned me on a couple of years ago, this Ned rig thing, early season, I'm finding that, whoa,
Nets are loving the that, man.
The Ned's a great technique, you know, cold water.
Yep.
Cold water, you know, early fall, you know, all the way through the, you know, through the winter. You know, when they go into a little bit deeper areas, they're not really active. They're not moving a lot, you know, and even when you know exactly where they're sitting, you know, in deep holes, maybe along like some pilings or a bulkhead or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, the Ned's a great finesse technique.
Okay, Chris, before I let you go, give us three or four of your prime South Jersey waters right now, next couple of weeks, four to pre-spawn larger, targeting that biggest fish of the season. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, over the years, I've kind of thrown out a lot of the same places. But, you know, right now we're seeing, some of my favorites are the fisheries are doing really well right now.
Yep.
I'm seeing some pictures of some really big fish being caught from a number of these places like Parvin State Park, as I already mentioned.
Yeah.
Great place. Bass, 6-7 pounders are being caught, you know, all through last fall, you know, big swim baits, you know, the finesse techniques like the Ned. And, I think that, you know, definitely over the next week or so, you know, somebody's going to catch a 7 or 8 pounder again, you know, probably, you know, pre-spawn or spawning, at that
right.
lake. The DOD lake, you know, one of our other wildlife management areas.
Out there, Patricktown.
That would be another key place. The Salem Canal, we've already had some tournaments, you know, tournament results coming in. We're hearing about a good couple year classes of fish that are coming up at the Salem Canal. Right now, some small fish, but looks good for the future. And some big fish are being caught. So that's another one I'd target. Rainbow Lake, one of our WMAs.
Right.
Again, some good results coming out of there. Over in Atlantic County, I'd say maybe Lake Lenape. I think there was a bass over 6.5 pounds that was caught last couple weeks in a tournament.
Yep.
And then I'm gonna round it out with my favorite, my favorite lake, South Jersey, Union Lake. I mean, it's our biggest lake at 898 acres. Definitely my favorite lake that I fish, regularly. And I think that one's got the real potential for a big one this year, too. Well, on top of those smallmouths, as an added bonus.
Oh, well, Chris, well, hats off to you, the division of the Bureau, especially just making South Jersey, all of New Jersey, really, but South Jersey is a destination place for quality largemouth bass fishing, Chris. I swear by it. You know me, Chris, I get up and down the state, and Union in particular, Chris, Lenape in particular, right there at Mays Landing. Listen, it's a great place. What gets me, though, Chris, I know we're up against heartbreak here. I got over there. Okay, come on. That Parvin, that's what, 6, maybe 7 feet of the deepest, how that keeps, also Assanpink, well, a lot bigger, but how it keeps producing quality fish like that is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, just a testament to our quality stocking program that we have for supplementing. You know, we supplement some of our largemouth bass natural reproduction with some additional stocking. You know, every few years we put some additional fish in there. The trophy bass regulations that we have in place and the conservation ethic of a lot of our anglers of releasing those fish. Definitely. You can harvest when you want, but definitely taking care of those fish during tournaments and getting them back in the water safely is definitely key.
Bass fishing South Jersey, firing in all cylinders, people. Okay, Chris, you take care, man. See you in the water, brother.
All right.
Take care. You. Trout with trout. I know. I'm like a pinball in the studio. Okay, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. Russian missiles flying in Ukraine this morning. The mayors of Kiev and Lviv report airstrikes, but no immediate word on damage or casualties. Meantime, Ukraine says it needs more weapons.
The Ukrainian foreign minister tells Fox News that right now, Ukraine is in critical need of rocket launcher systems and tanks. They're asking the Pentagon for more. And Fox News spoke one-on-one with a Ukrainian fighter pilot. He says Ukraine needs many more fighter jets.
Fox's Matt Fenn in Lviv. The South hit with more severe weather last night.
We had a long-tracked, long-lived supercell that basically moved from Missouri-Arkansas border and tracked east-southeast across north-central into northeast Arkansas, and it produced a substantial swath of significant large hail, as well as reports of tornado damage.
Meteorologist Jeremy Grams of the National Weather Service. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Rather cloudy skies today. A passing shower this afternoon, high 68. A shower in the area this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies tonight, low 44. Tomorrow, Easter Sunday, partly sunny skies, breezy, cooler, high 54. It'll be cool Monday with sunshine in areas of high clouds in the morning, then periods of rain in the afternoon with a high of 53. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, just real again, anyone who wasn't aware, they were, you know, in Siberia some of the time. Here are the fluke regs, seasons May 2nd to September 27th. There's 149 days. Two fish at 17 to 17.99 and one 18 inches or greater. For the Island Beach State Park is two at 16 inches from the surf only, and Delaware Bay remains three at 17 for the sea bass. Okay, uniform 13-inch size across the board the various seasons. And here we go. May 17th to June 19, 10 fish. July 1st to August 31st, two fish. October 7th to the 26th, 10 fish. And November 1st to New Year's Eve, 15 fish. Hey, but back to Island Beach State Park. Mark your calendars. Sunday, May 15th, the 31st annual Governor's Surf Tournament will take place. That's going to be a great time. Hopefully all the stars align. The bluefish are coming up the beach. The bass will be over the beach. Have a lot of stuff going on. Joining us online right now is Karen Byrne. She's a biologist, Division of Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Information and Education. She's going to key you in on the 31st Annual Governor's Surf Tournament. The rules, regs, it's going to be a lot of fun, some great prizes. And register early and save a few dollars. Karen Byrne, thanks for joining us at Rack and Fin, young lady. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, fired up for the Governor's Surf. Karen, I told you earlier, we spoke off the air earlier, listeners, and I told Karen way back when I went to a mailbox, a little town I was living in, opened up, okay, it was P.O. Box 1183. That's all I'm divulging. And I get this press release from the State Division of Fish and Wildlife, said, Governor's, inaugural Governor's Surf Tournament. I said, what? Read it through, and I said, wow. 31 years later, it is building up and going strong, bigger than ever. Karen, congratulations. This is a super event.
It is, and we're excited. And we're excited fluke's going to be an eligible species this year.
Yep. Okay, listen, in fact, speaking of eligible species, you have black drum at 16 inches, bluefish 14 inches, kingfish 10 inches, red drum 18 to 27. That's a slot. And yes, red, people say, oh, the climate change. My God, see, the redfish are coming up. They're a southern species. Wrong. Ocean City used to be considered the redfish capital of the Mid-Atlantic region. Ocean City, New Jersey, people, not Ocean City, Maryland. You have your striper at 28 to less than 38 inches and weakfish 13 inches. But, Karen, let's get into the entry fee, the date to enter, save some money. What's the dealio? Go.
So if you register before April 22nd, you will save $5 on adult registration fees. It's only $15 to register. After April 22nd, we will have in-person registration the day of the tournament. We're there at 5 a.m., and registration fees for adults is $20.
Okay.
Teams are 5, 12 and under free.
Okay, now that's going to be at Pavilion 1, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now, Karen, go into the fishing schedule itself. What's happening? When can you get those lines in the water?
So fishing starts at 6:30 a.m. and it goes until 1 o'clock p.m. We have judges up and down the beach who will be there to measure any fish you catch. And then right after that, we'll have a raffle drawing from 1:30 to 2 o'clock. We have lots of prizes, tackle, bait, lots of good stuff. And then we have our award ceremony at 2 o'clock for the largest fish in the various categories. And you get a nice rod and reel combo.
Now, is your name on a trophy or something? Like, what's the dealio with that?
So the person who wins the Governor's Cup, you will get your name on the Governor's Cup, which is at Island Beach State Park, along with the fish you caught and its size.
Now, listen, here's an early incentive. Get registered early. You still have a week to save the money, but you save on the adult registration fee naturally. You're eligible for additional raffle prizes donated from local bait and tackle shops, and you're avoiding the delay. You're able to, right, Karen, you're allowed to go right to the beach, correct, instead of having to stop.
You can set up that night. Pick your spot. You can go right to the beach. You don't have to stop at Bathing Beach Area 1, where sometimes we get a little congested with everyone registering that morning. So it's really great. We have some great prizes this year. Some gift baskets were donated.
Yep.
Some rod and reel combos as well were donated. So should have some nice prizes for early entry.
Karen, from Tom P's Corner, will the concession stand be open?
The concession stand will be open. They'll be there. They'll have coffee. They'll have some breakfast items as well as lunch items that day.
Okay, join us on the Rack and Fin line is Karen Burns. She's a biologist, Division of Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Information and Education. We're talking to Governor's 31st Annual Surf Tournament. It's going to be Sunday, May 15th. I'd like to get into the history a little bit. I mean, 31 years. This is a hell of a long-running tournament. And it gets seems to get more successful, again, weather permitting, although I remember it was at one tournament. Karen, it had to be blowing 40 straight east.
I was there that day, too.
And I remember, okay, I had a 4 or 5 outs on a casting. It's going straight up in the air. By 11 o'clock, I said to me and my lovely Demir, we're done. How ironic. We're going up the Parkway North. We get to mile marker 105. And the skies turned blue. All the clouds were along the beach. And she said, that's because they knew you were fishing that day. That was a tough day. But the history, Karen, go into the planning and whatever. This is a monster event.
Right. So originally the tournament was started in 1991. And it was an effort to bring awareness to the governor and state legislatures in the state of the importance of recreational saltwater angling in New Jersey, as well as our marine resources. And we felt if you can get a large enough group of people there and show, you know, those who are making policy decisions, look how many people, you know, use this resource, they'll see the importance of it.
How are signups going so far for this year?
So far, so good. We're right on target. We have over 250 people registered so far, and
whoa!
Probably within the next week or so, we'll get another 100.
Wow, close to 400. Again, people usually wait till the weather. Karen, I know I do this all the time going on a boat. So wait until the very last minute to see what the weather's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if you hit 400 or better.
Yes. Yeah. Typically, you have around like 400, 500 people who participate in the tournament.
Karen, just from my end of things now, strictly from the beach, because you have the bay right behind you. What's the deal?
Nope, we're only on the ocean side, so it is true surf fishing, and it's just ocean side that we allow fishing.
Are there any terminal tackle restrictions or anything?
You're allowed terminal tackles limited to 2 hooks. A plug does count as a hook, and individuals are allowed to have 2 rods to fish.
Okay, now, again, this has happened from time to time. Bite goes crazy. Now, what's the situation? You're allowed to weigh in only 1 fish? Or measure 1 fish?
Nope. We recommend that the first fish you catch, you should definitely have it measured by a judge. And then after that, if you catch a different species or a larger fish, measure those in.
Now you'll have judges going up and down the beach, but if the person catches one, I mean, it can't be walking around. It has to be measured right where they caught it, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now what about the circle hooks? Now, you're just out there, the chance of a striper come along. So if you're hanging a clam lizard or a bloodworm or a sandworm, you need the circle, the inline circle hook, correct?
That is correct. If you're targeting a striped bass, you need to have a circle hook.
Okay, but Karen, the great thing I noticed about this, we're up against a hard breaker. I could have Karen on for hours. But besides the hardcore surf people that fish this, and they're a hardcore surf tournament guys, they live for this. The times I've been here, I notice a lot of families. It's really like a family-oriented thing, correct?
Correct. We like to encourage family fishing. Bring your friends. As we said, 12 and under, kids are free, so you can just enter the kids in and have a nice day of fishing with them.
Yeah, listen, if you register online, there will be a corresponding fee, correct?
There is. There are some fees associated with online registration.
Okay, so for early registration via snail mail or however, you still have a week to save on the money, be eligible for additional prizes. What's the address and stuff, Karen? Go.
P.O. Box 418 in Port Republic, New Jersey, 08241.
And make the check or money order out to who?
The Governor's Surf Fishing Tournament.
Okay, and a phone number? Anyone has any questions?
609-748-4347, and that's my number.
Karen,
so they can call me.
Karen Byrne, as always, a pleasure to have you on Rack and Fin. Hope to see you Sunday, May 15th. Listeners, 31st annual. It's going to be a super event. Hey, rain or shine. That's why I can say this. That's why God created frog togs, rainwear. You have it. Don't worry about it. It's going to be a super time. Register early. Save the money. You're eligible for other prizes. And the most important thing, you get right to the water's edge and, you know, start the fish at 6:30 instead of being caught. There's always a line. You're going to get caught in a line as fast as they try to process things. Do it early. Avoid the wait. Karen, thanks for joining us. Hope to see you there.
Thank you so much.
Catch you later.
Bye.
The WPG Talk Radio app is your connection to South Jersey's talk station. Get free, unlimited local and statewide news from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Download all of our local shows as podcasts and more, powered by Ambient Comfort. For installation to repairs and maintenance, give Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling a call today at 856-213-6586. AmbientComfortNJ.com. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
And that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there on the water and enjoy. Place it now. You're going to hear it now right here. I bet this week the first Bluefish show, and I bet the first Weakfish show. Give it to maybe Wednesday, Thursday. Check your local tackle shops for some fishing reports. Again, get out there and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.